This podcast has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Bonfire. Welcome, bienvenue, at another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka MrShutUpPodcast.com, aka the controversial Canadian Negro, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Okay, today's date is July 19, 2026. Hey, we're halfway through the year, aren't we? July 19, 2026, and we are at episode 356. 356. 356. I can't say that in Spanish. And in today's episode, I'm gonna do something a little different. Usually I have I'm gonna be sharing two final thoughts. How can it be a final thought if so? It's an extended randomness session. But, the first one will be, the first thought will be, it was based on something I did on the last episode. It's not a retraction, but I was defending Jay-Z. I'm going to talk about how I really, really did not want to defend Jay-Z. And then the second thought, it will be a confession. I'm just going to share a confession with the rest of you. So technically, this should be a short episode. You never know. You know, people like likes to talk. Anyway, so before I share thoughts, I will still continue with tradition and share some quotables. Right. First one is from the poet Talal Macy and his piece called Proselytizing. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read, there's an excerpt from it, and it goes, an excerpt from it that's going to be relevant to one of my thoughts. And it goes, let me find it. He goes, I bookmarked the page, but can't find it. All right. But if you're thinking you're spiritual, stop it. Because your only concept of God comes from a man who got his hands deep in your pockets. Why you think they call him a prophet? Whenever you got money, he gonna need you to come off it. Parasite, take your money. Tell you lies. Lust for your wife. Now you want to use his advice to tell me how to live my life when I already know it's possible to be myself and still live in God.
Message.
All right. Next one is, I'm going to recite this one. Bear with me. It's a little rap poem, little poetry I'm going to share with y'all. It goes, Vin ain't lie. I done came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like Che Guevara with bling on. I'm complex. I never claim to have wings on. Nigga, I get my by any means on whenever there's a drought. Get your umbrellas out, because that's when I brainstorm. You can blame Sean, but I invent the game. I just rolled the dice trying to get some change. And I do it twice. Ain't no sense in me lying as if I'm a different man. And I could blame my environment, but there ain't no reason why I be buying expensive chains. Hope you don't think users are the only abusers. Niggas getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed. Still the vibe's in my vein. Still the vibe is in my veins. I got the hustler spirit, nigga, period. Check out my hot, yo, peep the way I wear it. Check out my swag, yo. I walk like a ball player. No matter where you go, you are what you are, player. And you can try to change, but that's just the top layer. Excuse me. Man, you was who you was before you got here. Only God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone. Damn. All right. Last quotable, and which will be relevant, and it's by Malcolm X, and I'm not going to read it out. I'm just going to play it for you.
I just told you a little while ago, these leaders that they call leaders, this included Lena Horne, this included Dick Gregory, and this included comedians, comics, trumpet players, baseball players. Show me in the white community where a comedian is a white leader. Show me in the white community where a singer is a white leader, or a dancer or a trumpet player is a white leader. These aren't leaders. These are puppets and clowns that have been set up over the black community by the white community and have been made celebrities and usually say exactly what they know that the white man wants to hear. And it is an honor, actually, that they endorsed Dr. Martin Luther King and were against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's actually an honor.
Message.
All right, that's it. That's it. All right, let's jump to, I want to say randomness, but it's, you know, let's jump to the first final thought.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, I feel the need to, before I get into it, because the final thought that I want to share is something that I wrote down. But before I get into it, actually, let me just give you some context. So this is what happened, gang. This is what happened. After I published the last episode, titled Life Dating and Being Single, there's a portion where if you read the description, I said, not wanting to defend Jay-Z. That was one of my topics. And it was based on the freestyle that Jay-Z recited at the stadium. And I forget what was the point that I'm making. I forgot the whole thing. But I do know I was commenting on all the negative feedback. I should have thought, I guess, on all the negative feedback he was getting for that freestyle. And part of me felt like it was kind of unfair. It's like, you know, he didn't write a dissertation. It was a freestyle. He said a bunch of shit. I mean, that's one. Two, it's, the nigga ain't no leader. we got a role to play as people who worship these celebrities. You know, I actually forgot what I said, but it kind of sounded like I was But I knew I felt the need to defend him. And after doing so, I came across a lot of posts. It's like the universe conspired to be like, this is where you were wrong or this is where you were right. But this one particular piece got my attention and I will, got my attention, and I will share it with the rest of yous.
It's not funny. It's not a game, and we're not selling out for a dollar. But hey, some people make impact. Some people make money. I guess you just want to make money.
I'm a target. Hey, don't miss that target. No exclusive. They only doing what Apple and Walmart did. You shopping at Amazon, or you boycotting? You posting on Instagram? That's Meta, boy. Stop it. Y'all know Google owns YouTube. Picking and choosing the politicking as usual.
Surprise? No. I expect this. I just wish we would take all the pressure off celebrities. They should not be the reason that you choose to stand for things that are affecting your community. I've said this over and over again. You have a billionaire here talking about how he just undercut his own community for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Literally telling you like, okay, and I got paid for this, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of discussed it, but I want to walk through what he said. If you look at what Jay-Z said from the standpoints of logic, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're not going to boycott Amazon. You're not going to boycott Meta. Why are you boycotting Target? But this is why I always say history is my religion. So let's take it back some. When there was the Montgomery bus boycott, did they boycott every business? No, they boycotted every business in Alabama. They made impact when there was the United Farmers, right? Did they boycott every grocery store? Mm-hmm. No, they didn't boycott every grocery store. They boycotted grapes and made impact. The Southeastern apartheid, all these different movements, they did not boycott the world. Mm-hmm. They selectively boycotted a specific group because when you put your focus on something, then you can have momentum. Right. Because when there's a million bullies and you take one of the big bullies out of the group and you hit them hard, they're going to feel it, okay? And then the rest will second guess the next time they're gonna mess with you. We cannot expect the average black consumer to be the most perfect ethical shopper. That is unrealistic to go after every corporation. But when we put our focus on something, when we're saying this thing matters so we can move the needle, so it can impact our community, so they can hit him where it hurts, like Target. Target didn't just go after Jay-Z because it's convenient. Right. He went after you because our community made some noise. We made impact. We hit them in their wallets. We hit them where it hurts. That is why they're seeking you celebrities that think these little people don't have impact. Target went from 5.2 billion to 4.7 billion, okay? We hit them in their pockets and it hurt. Don't listen to no Jay-Z. Your dollar has impact. Your dollar makes a difference. Your dollar makes these corporations shake and move, and now they gotta think twice. Mm-hmm. So when he said the hashtags, he don't care about Twitter fingers. Really? Wow. Guess who's not laughing? Nolan Wells isn't laughing. Mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony isn't laughing, right? Robert Fuller isn't laughing. These people are not laughing because these are real everyday people whose families are impacted. It's not funny. It's not a game. And we're not selling out for a dollar. But hey, some people make impact. Some people make money. I guess you just want to make money. And Haiti said slavery was over. You think slavery just was over the day Haiti abolished it?
Right.
No, baby. Time. Haiti went and helped every other continent. We had to go and help everybody else get their freedom. It started with one and then it trickled down.
What I love about her point is that, yes, this capitalism system does not work if people start giving a fuck about others. And also, I'm combining what she said with the words from Malcolm X about how these celebrities aren't our leaders. They do have influence, but they're not leaders. I think it's because we live in this information age where you can question people's intention. But anyway, so to her point, what she was saying about boycotting, it had me thinking about, again, I will share my thoughts about what I said in my last episode and Jay-Z in a sec, but right now I just want to get this thought out. What she was saying about boycotting, it's powerful. It reminded me of this unofficial boycott happening in Canada where most of us are either boycotting American-made products or just boycotting the United States as a travel destination. It's not official. There's no one leading it except for maybe, you know, except for Donald Trump. He shot himself in the foot with that one. But, you know, he acted like, hey, man, fuck them. Fuck our niggas. Fuck our neighbors in the north. Wow. It's interesting. I wanted to say neighbor and the word nigga came out. But that's another. I need to talk to my therapist about that one. Anyway, so. But just the disparaging remark he's made about Canada. And that shit caught us off. all of us off guard because. I know for myself, I was convinced that, you know, white supremacy kept white people tight together. And when, excuse me, and then when Donald Trump came with the 51st state shit, we don't need anything from them. They're fucking leechers. Like, we had the image of the perfect neighbor. And then Trump shows up and all of a sudden he's got all these gripes about, like, I had no idea. Y'all had this problem with us. Excuse me. Yo, awful neighbors. You know, it's to the point we might stop using the word neighbor. Anyway, so, yes, Trump was talking shit about Canada and it affected all Canadians, most Canadians. And I know in my province, I live in Ontario, the provincial minister, PM? Yeah. Provincial minister, he said, yeah, fuck that. We ain't selling American-made alcohol, American-made liquor. And we fucking, trust me, in my circle, no one complained. I'm like, fuck that. I've been I'm a whiskey drinker, and I've been drinking Crown Royal more often. I've experimented with Japanese whiskey, but I don't give a fuck. Fuck. Okay, the only whiskey I miss is Uncle Nearest. Now I'm waiting for one of my homies to smuggle it in the country legally. And but okay, my point is the boycott is working. It's not an official boycott. No one's organizing it, but it does feel good to hear in the news how tourism is affected in the States. Like they've seen a drop in tourism. Like even flights to the States have dropped. I love it. And I guess the only point that I'm making is, yes, I've learned this a long time ago. Probably one of the greatest wisdom a brother gave to me when I was in my teens is that if you want to hurt the white man, hurt him in his pockets. Probably the biggest life lesson. That's the white man's kryptonite, their pocket. Don't burn shit. It doesn't work anymore. But yeah, if you can see, that's the tough part. When you can get a group, mobilized group to boycott a product, they're going to feel it. It's going to take time, but they will feel it. They'll hire some expert to be like, what the fuck? How are we going to get these Canadians back in the country? How are we going to get these Negroes to buy our crappy shit? Anyways, so I don't know the full deal, but the second thing that caught my attention is I did not know that Jay-Z in his freestyle dissed Kaepernick. And I Googled it. I'm saying, why the fuck did he do that? I don't know why he dissed Kaepernick, but it's, to me, that's like, wow, what's the, so A, you got him speaking against Target, against the Target boycott, and B, speaking against the Target boycott, and B, dissing Kaepernick. this is where the text that I'm trying to share, it goes, I remember there was a time where I hated Jay-Z. I was a huge Pac fan. Pac hated Jay-Z. I hated Jay-Z. Actually, I was even a fan of his music at the time. So I was on this fuck Jay-Z because Pac said so. Then Ether by Nas came out, and I was like, man, I was team Nas on that end. I'm the guy at the barbershop going, yeah, Ether was better than Takeover. Fight me. And then what happened? I discovered the Black Album, and the Black Album is what finally turned me into a fan. Meaning I paid attention to his, there was something about the way Jay-Z rhymed at the beginning. I didn't get it. His flow didn't work for me, but something when the Black Album happened, I started paying attention to his lyrics, and I'm like, oh, okay. This dude's got a bit of maturity in this shit. Like he's got a bit of maturity. And I also liked how, as I continued to follow up to Jay-Z, I felt like he was the one rapper who was encouraging black boys to be mature, to mature, to grow up. Not grow up, be like me, but grow up. You were one person before, you should be someone different later. Do you know what I mean? And so I'm caught between fuck that nigga and wait. Let's hear him out. And this is where what I wrote. Okay, let me just read it, and then I'll continue the discussion from there. It goes up. Bear with me. Let me increase the fonts. I don't know. Maybe I think I'm going to call this one You Don't Know, but I don't know. But here it goes. I struggle with the idea of nuance. Maybe that's because social media trains us to pick a side. Either someone is a hero or they're trash. You're either defending them or you're against them. But with Jay-Z, I think I'm finally starting to understand what a nuanced opinion looks like. On my last episode, I literally called the segment Don't make me defend this guy. I defended this recent freestyle because I thought people were overreacting. Then I found out I hadn't heard the full version. Then I learned about the Target exclusive album deal and why so many black people viewed it as undermining the boycott. Then I learned about the line where he dissed Colin Kaepernick. Every time I thought I had enough information to form an opinion, I realized I didn't. And that's kind of where I am with Jay-Z. I want to believe he's Che Guevara with bling on, like he says. I want to believe he's a billionaire who's still trying to push things forward. At the same time, I struggle with the idea that anyone becomes a billionaire in our current economic system without making compromises that benefit the wealthy. So where does that leave me? Honestly, I don't know. There are things about Jay-Z that I respect. There are things that make me uncomfortable. And then there's a huge unknown sitting in the middle. One like letter X, the unknown. The only thing I know for certain is that I don't know enough about him to decide whether I love him or hate him. I know he writes dope rhymes. Beyond that, I'm still figuring it out. What got me thinking about this was a TikTok creator who gave me this incredible... What got me thinking, when I first defended Jay-Z and his lyrics, right? When he said that comment about Twitter activists, I was thinking about a specific TikTok creator who gave this incredible, passionate speech about why Kendrick Lamar was supposedly a sellout for performing at the Super Bowl. And the thing is, she was making points. She almost had me. She was making the kind of arguments where if she had challenged me directly, I wouldn't have known how to respond. Jesus, sorry, bear with me. It reminded me of flat earthers. They can ask questions that sound convincing because they spend so much time on the subject, while the average person hasn't studied enough to answer every point on the spot. The only reason I recognized there was something fraudulent about what she was saying or what she was doing is when she ended the whole thing, the whole passionate speech, and she ended it with, "Follow me for more." Smash that like button, follow me for more. That immediately changed how I heard everything that came before it. Not because promoting your content is wrong. Every creator wants people to follow them. But it reminded me that outrage is also content. Conviction is also a content. Revolution is content. And it made me wonder how much of that I was watching was driven by a genuine desire to persuade me and how much was driven by the algorithm rewarding engagement. That's why I'm becoming more comfortable saying, I don't know. I don't know enough about Jay-Z to jump to the fuck Jay-Z train. Excuse me, to jump on the fuck Jay-Z train. I also don't know enough to worship him. Maybe that's the real lesson here. We don't have to pick a side on everything. Sometimes the most honest position is admitting we don't have enough information yet. And honestly, I wish more of us, including me, were comfortable just saying that.
Message!
I want to add a...
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. So, I'm feeling like I'm being deep with this one. So, yeah, that part that was... like I said, in the previous episode, where I was defending Jay-Z, I'm iffy about it. you know what's interesting about this is how there's like a bully in my mind right now, and he's forcing me to pick a side. It's either love the nigga or say fuck that nigga. And if I worship him, then I feel like a dick rider. If I'm saying fuck him, I feel like I'm unenlightened. I'm being unfair. Like I'm like it's like I've met my fair share of people who wanted me to adopt their opinion. And when I would simply say, I don't know, I don't have a thought, their first thought was, oh, I guess you're on the fence about it. Yeah, usually they were like the conservative type. And they would say, I guess you're on the fence. And I'm like, shit. I never looked at it that way. I honestly thought I didn't know. I didn't have an opinion. Or what you're asking me is a little too complicated to answer, especially in a work environment. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of the white people who would show up and being like, so what do you think of that Rodney King beating? Do you think he deserved it? Really? You think I want to have this conversation at work, white boy? Do you think I want to? You know, okay, and I think probably where the growth aspect in all this is for myself is simply being comfortable with saying, I don't. I appreciated that on the Three Guys On podcast, they talked about yesterday's live show. They talked about this freestyle, and I love how it wasn't treated like there was four people on. Oh no, actually, Mike B was gone by then, but stuff like that. But the thoughts went all over the place. It wasn't like one line, like fuck that nigga or whatever. But they talked about the complexity about what he did, oh, why he did it. I guess it's, look, man, if you want to be on the fuck Jay-Z train, power to you. If you want a dick ride, if you think he deserves a chance, or he's truly Chicken Vary with green, with bling on, good for you. For me, leave me out of it. Just leave me in camp. I don't know. I'm thinking about how I still stick on something that I said in the last in the last show is, I don't like telling people what they should do with their talent. Perfect example. I know there was a lot of when I think of Obama, he made a lot of he made some good decisions and he made some unpopular decisions, and a lot of people were quick to like diss him for his unpopular decision. And in my head, I'm like, that's the job, though. Sometimes you got to make a choice between a shitty option and an even shittier option, or two shitty options. Sometimes you got to decide is, who can I afford to piss off this time around? Do you know what I mean? I guess I don't like... That dude jumped through a lot of hurdles to get to where he is. And I can only imagine what it must be like to sit in the cockpit and say, okay, you got to press this button and this and that and that. And what's funny is, as I'm just expressing that, I remember all the times I was attacked because I was like, oh, you're dick riding Obama. I'm like, how about you run for president and then do shit the way you wanted to do it? Do you know what I mean? I think he deserves a bit of credit for... In the end, I'm realizing what it comes down to. In the end, it's a gut thing. I don't have all the facts, but a part of me wants to believe that Obama is the person he presents himself to be. Part of me wants to believe that Jay-Z is the person he wants us to believe. I refuse to do that with Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. Granted, they've said and done some shit that I can't live by, but I guess I'm also recognizing that I'm not in their shoes. I don't know what's it like to be a white racist, a rich white racist. You know what I mean? I'm just, you know, whatever. I'm just going to end this with being okay with not knowing. What's funny is, you would think I'd be used to that because that's the kind of skill you need when you work in the IT field. Being okay with not knowing. Okay, that's it. I think I've expunged squeezed out all the thoughts that I've had on the topic. I will looking at my notes here. All right, okay, now that's it. All right, let's. I'm gonna jump to the next final say, but before we do that, I'm gonna take a quick break. Alright, we're back. And like I said, this is gonna be a confession portion of the podcast. If you can't tell, I'm a little nervous. I'm gonna share some shit that very likely would get canceled. Imagine I might lose some listeners. And I understand. And so, you know, it's one of those things that I'd rather you heard it from me than from someone else. And there's no short way to say this. There's just, you know, just I'm just gonna whip it out. Just put it out there. All right. And excuse me. It's not joking. All right, here's the confession, boys and girls. And again, do it this as you will. And I beat my meat. What's that? I said I beat my meat. All right, I beat my meat. Beat my meat like a beat bop. Shout out to Kev on stage for sharing that with the rest of the world. Grow the fuck up. Okay, I said this was gonna be serious. All right. It's I'm making a big deal out of. So what happened is Kev on stage, he's a comedian, entrepreneur. Man, he runs this internet shit. At on one of his shows. I don't know what the context was, but he just said, yeah, man, fuck it, man. I'm saying, for now, I don't think masturbation is a sin. I beat my meat. I took it as a, you know what? I here. Okay, yeah. I don't have the right applause for it. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to change. But congratulations. Shout out to Kev on stage for confessing that online. And I feel like this is the equivalent of, I don't know, a man walking on the in the black community. Like, this is a milestone. There was a time when, I mean, it still is, but it's not just being black, but it's also Christian. And that's a huge breakthrough. I mean, that's even a bigger breakthrough than when Kirk Franklin showed up on Oprah to talk about how he had a porn addiction. And it's like, you watch porn? As a Christian black man. Look, okay, I knew it was a big deal for me that he did that. Sure, it was a joke. I mean, whatever. There was humor to it. But the thing is, it's shit you don't say, you're not supposed to say as a black man. It's something you're supposed to deny or take to your grave. Sure, as a comedian, you can talk about beating your meat, but you mean it as a joke. No one takes it seriously. But I knew it was a big deal for me when I went on Threads. I don't know what it is about Threads, but because I don't go on Twitter anymore. Anyways, I went on Threads. And I'm seeing a few, because again, shout out to the algorithm, a few, because it knows how to trigger me, a few posts dissing, either joking, dissing, or refuting what, oh God, Trevor on stage is a sinner, oh man, he's taken away from Christ, and blah, blah, blah. And it would piss, like I was taking it personally. I can't remember, this one woman made a joke about it. And I found myself, sure, I caught myself taking it a little too seriously. But at the same time, I found myself observing on how, why the world makes a big deal when a man opens up sexually. From either, I'm not into women, I'm into men. You know, it's, there's something about when it comes to sexuality, you keep that shit to your fucking self. And it had me wondering, is when you see the way people are reacting, it had me wondering, is this why shit like, hey, I am not fit to be in a monogamous relationship. I need with plenty partners. The shame, instead of admitting, like I'm thinking of Tiger Woods. Perfect example, Tiger Woods. I'm trying to imagine him living in a world where he could have said that, yeah, marriage is not for me. Or I could get married, but lady, you need to know that I will not be able to respect the rules of monogamy. Okay, it's one big observation that I made, and it's probably not relevant to the person who saw my poster. She thought I was trying to start a gender war. I don't know what that's about, but I will admit that I was taking people either dissing Kevin, like I felt the need to defend him. There's a lot of people, fuck y'all, whatever. But it's a big deal. Look. I still remember when telling people as a black man, you do not admit this thing of ours. You do not tell people that you eat pussy. That's the generation I came up with. Now men are eating ass today. But I mean, back then, I remember being in a barbershop. Sure, it was a Caribbean barbershop. You know, that's yeah, add that to it too, right? It was a Caribbean barbershop, and the topic of eating pussy came up, and I was getting ready to like volunteer, share some information about the last time I ate pussy, and then I'm surrounded by fellows. Yeah, man, no, real men don't do that shit. You know what I mean? Real bad men, you know, you don't rely on your tongue, you rely on your penis. Meaning, their logic was the only reason you would eat a woman out is because you don't have enough stamina to bring her to a finish. And I was thinking, eating pussy is my backup plan. I mean, we can't rely on this dick alone. I got these. Anyways, I remember hearing him talk and I'm like, shut the fuck up. Going into shut the fuck up, just nod your head, laugh, and pray to God they don't ask you a direct question. Hey, brother, hey, I'm not going to do their accent, but I mean, yeah. Hey, you eat pussy? I would have lied or avoided answer. Oh, who knows? Maybe I would have found some courage. I would have been like, yeah, fuck y'all, man. I ate your mother's pussy last night. Oh, gross. Anyway, whatever, but look. Where I'm going with this is the reaction to Kev on stage had me thinking both about the how it was a big deal. It had me thinking about sexuality and how talking about sexuality has always been a weird conversation for. I still remember the first time, this was in college. They had a sexual, sex expert, a therapist, whatever, the fucking sexologist, whatever, man, was that Jane? Was her name Jane? But whatever, man, sex with Sue type of person. I think it was Sue, or was it Jane? Doesn't matter, but it was one of those people who made a career talking about sex on the radio, and she was on campus. And I was clutching my pearls the whole time she was talking, knowing she wasn't saying anything wrong, but it just had me thinking about how weird this shit felt. And that's the thing, and this is where I'm going with this whole beating. It's liberating. The difference between me and Kev on stage is that he's married. So I'm like, oh, of course. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of you who are like, yeah, you didn't need to tell us. We assumed. But it's more, I just like the fact that we're living in an age where it's not like before, where it's that thing that you had to lie about. It was that thing that you would make fun of someone else for doing, as opposed to it's a natural behavior. It's a natural thing. It's a natural incident. It had me thinking about, I used to, excuse me, I'm not going to tell you about my journey into masturbation, but I am going to bring up how there was this one year I, excuse me, I'm laughing. During my Christian days, my faith was so strong. Even though I was in Catholic, I chose to practice, to try out Lent for a year. But I didn't give up candy. I did this. I said, I'm giving up porn. Really, what I was saying is, I'm giving up masturbation and porn for 40 days. And then I said, fuck it. And because I didn't want to tell people that, yeah, I'm giving up porn for, or I'm giving up masturbation, I would tell people I'm giving up weed. So I, because it's just easier. It just, so I would tell people, yeah, I gave up weed for Lent. But really what I was saying is I'm giving up the trifecta, weed, porn, and masturbation. 40 days. And I did it because my faith was strong. Problem is after those 40 days, oh my God. It's like my dick was in witness protection program for 40 days. And when I found it, like, motherfucker, beat it, whatever. Whoa, you didn't need all the graphic. And that's the other thing, too. Is it gross to picture a man jerking off? Because I know if a woman talks about how she plays, you know, with her bean, I forget what the expression is, but about masturbating, I'm like, hey, tell me more. You sick fuck. I mean, granted, I don't want to hear it from anyone, but I don't. I feel like there's something, it's easier to hear a woman say, yeah, I masturbate. I use a vibrator. Then a guy says, I beat my meat. Like it's a punch. It's an easy punchline. It feels like the only time a man brings up beating their meat is as a punchline. Wow. This is B Black. Is this whole final say going to be about you beating your meat? Not really. I mean, kind of, whatever. All right. So last point I was going to make is I tried this. There's this movement on Reddit. I'm not sure if they're still around. And it's called NoFap. No fapping, as in, let me just see if they're still around. No fap. I gave them a try one year, and it's because there was like porn addiction recovery. No fap, porn addiction recovery. Yep, they're still around. No fap is a community driven movement and support network where individuals abstain from pornography, masturbation to overcome the compulsive sexual behavior. The gold standard. Yeah. So there was this video, this TED talk, this dude was talking about masturbation, the effect it had on your brain. And I was convinced. I think I must have been a point in my life where I'm like, yo, everything sucks. It must be because I won't stop touching myself. So I joined the NoFap movement and treated it like an addiction. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever. But the positive thing is at least I was able to identify things like triggers, the reason I was. It's so masturbation wasn't affecting. Like I wasn't jerking off at work. I told myself that's the limit. Once you start, once you're like, hey, what's your TPS report? Okay, I'm just sick. I haven't started yet because I needed to jerk off or there's porn on my teeth. You know, it wasn't interrupting my work life. But you know what? That's a different conversation. It was affecting my ability to be in a relationship, but that's another conversation because what's wrong with that? That was my first thought. All right. So I did try the NoFap movement. Problem was, I can't remember how long I went. Oh, I will credit it because I remember telling myself when I started NoFap, it was the, I don't know if the two are linked, but it was from NoFap that I finally got into stand-up comedy. And I remember telling myself, when I tried out the open mic for the first time, I told myself, if I bomb, I'm so jerking off. It was an incentive. Because I hadn't jerked off in a long time and everything. And I told myself, if I'm going to do this open mic, and if it doesn't work out, like like that extreme part of my mind keeps telling me I'm going to fail or whatever, if it does come to that, the positive side is you get to jerk off. You get to say, fuck NoFap, this shit doesn't work out, doesn't work. And then, I had a successful open mic, and then I'm like, oh shit, this NoFap thing doesn't work. I mean, actually works. I think what made me quit, I think it was just because I was hearing too many conflicting information about whether or not masturbation prevented, excuse me, I feel silly saying this, whether or not masturbation prevented prostate cancer. Like, I didn't want that to be the reason to why I wasn't to, oh, doctor says, oh man, you got a tumor in your nuts. Have you been jerking off? No, because no fat. Slap, slap, slap. The other reason why I gave up the no fat movement is because it was feeling a little too like the religious. It was feeling a little too religious. It was feeling like the same point the Christian community was making for why you shouldn't masturbate sounded a lot like. Like, no fat will be like, hey, only good men don't jerk off. Real men don't jerk off. I mean, only pieces of shit. It's like they would diss you because you jerked. They would talk to, jerking off to them was equivalent to, no, even worse. It's like you have all these negative views of people who jerk off, and yet the dude who beats his wife gets a pass. Who, you know, it's like, how exactly are we measuring masculinity here? You're a real man if you don't touch yourself. You're also a real man. But when it comes to shit like not being an asshole, not beating women, or being faithful, it was like, we ignore that. You know, it was a contradiction that bothered me. It felt too real. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. The no-fat movement felt too religious. It reminded me, when I say religious, I remember the shit that I would take from other Christians because of, I don't know, I didn't want to go to church on that one Sunday. I was listening to rap music. Whatever. I was wearing a red t-shirt, which according to this particular Christian who's yelling in my face is telling me, oh, that's unchristlike. You know, everyone had to like their own definition. And I'm like, I'm getting beat up by these people. And yet, the Donald Trumps of the world, nothing. I guess what ended up happening was I started to measure myself by my own standards, pretty much. I think that's what happened. Who knows? Maybe I will try the no-fat movement if I need to. But it won't be because someone convinced me that I'll gain all these superpowers if I stop jerking off. This is kind of funny. I feel that I'm going to read this last, this one thread post. Someone said something that I agree with. Religion, Christianity made you believe that touching your own body is a sin. That's another thing that I was seeing all these religious people come after, no pun intended, come after Kev on stage for joking about masturbating. And I'm like, and I was thinking about how much, yo, this is why I read that line earlier about proselytizing by Talon Macy. What does it say? It goes, to be myself and still live in God. I think one of my big, on the long list of resentments that I have towards the church, Christianity, is there was never being myself and being loved by God with two, like you couldn't accept God and be yourself. Maybe churches have like changed their ideas and they've like let people alone. That's cool. But that was a big like, fuck y'all. I'm done. I ain't, fuck this, man. If Jesus is like pissed off on who I am, then he could go fuck himself. It is what it is. You know, where I'm going with this. Yes. As I'm hearing all these Christians refuting or going against Kev on stage, and I really appreciate that he did that. I think I've said this. My first impression was Kev on stage. I said, if I went to a church that had more people like him there, people who are like lived their lives. I'm not angry at the ones who just, I am who I am and I'm still being Christ-like. People who are able to make space for who they were and their faith. If I had more examples like that, then Christianity would not have felt such a letdown of a religion. So I bring this up because I'm thinking about all these people dissing him for it, and it's like, oh, he's turning people away from the church. And I'm like, well, you motherfuckers better hope there ain't no Jesus. Because if there is a Jesus, and he goes through the list of people who your actions turned away from the church, you're going to be on the top of that list. If there is one, like the same ones who are like, bitching about, what you're doing is unchristlike. Jerking off is unchristlike. I don't know if Jesus took the time to talk about, hey, stop beating your meat. I don't think so. I've been in Sunday school long enough. But then again, but they have brought it up. They will assume you know. But I do know a lot of you religious heads are the reasons why the church is like losing members. It's not the devil. It's not modern technology. It's not rap music, rock and roll. Back in my days, they would blame everything on rock and roll. It's not the music. It's not the lust. It's not the LGBTQ community. No, it's you. You. I'm thinking of. I'm gonna add a section in the show notes for soundtracks, and I'm gonna play. There's a song by Life Jennings, where he talks about, yo, church don't become a fucking fashion. Where he talks about how he came to church for a reason why. He needed to come to church. He was having a crisis of faith. And he was surrounded by motherfuckers clowning him or criticizing him for his dress code. It's like, you know, it's... If you can't tell, I'm very disappointed in the church. But, Outkast says, I'm crumbling herb. I'm beating my meat, all right? Can't wait to stop playing this. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, right? What did I did yesterday? Lightly beat my meat. Bat my meat. Beat your meat, fellas. The world would probably be a better place if you bat your meat. I feel like making a campaign of it. Yeah, leave Kevin on stage alone. With that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Like usual, holla if you hear me. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes when they hear Big Rube ask, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F was for fuck Whitey. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.